Iran is in the news for another reason today. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon's last-minute invitation for Iran to attend Syrian peace talks this week in Switzerland. Iran is a close ally of Syria's President Bashar al-Assad, and the UN invitation angered the Syrian opposition, whose aim is to topple the president. So after the U.S. protested and the Syrian opposition threatened to pull out of the talks, Ban Ki-moon withdrew the invitation. Now the talks are back on without Iran. Aaron Baker is Time Magazine's Middle East Bureau Chief. And Aaron, why was Iran invited in the first place?
Well, Iran has a very important role to play in Syria. It is one of its largest financial backers. It also provides military support and weapons. So if anyone is to be able to deliver Assad at a peace conference, it would have to be Iran. They're the most likely to be able to nudge him in a direction that might provide the opening of humanitarian aid corridors, for example, or ceasefires. They have the most influence.
So given the sway that Iran does have, why were they not welcomed by the Syrian opposition or the U.S. for that matter?
Well, the Syrian opposition sees Iran as someone who is part of the problem. They say that Iran is, in fact, occupying Syria with its own military forces and that it has no interest whatsoever in seeing Assad step down. So they argue that there will be no help whatsoever from Iran at these talks, whereas the Americans don't want to see Iran rewarded for its role in Syria, such as having Hezbollah, its militant proxy that's based in Lebanon, also going in and fighting on the regime's behalf.
Okay, so the talks are on, back on, and all other things being equal, the Syrian government and the opposition will be sitting down for the first time in Switzerland this week on Wednesday. What is at stake here?
What is not at stake? At this point, we're talking about an estimated 130,000 people dead, a quarter of the population either refugeed in neighboring countries or displaced within the country, starvation, severe economic collapse. Everything needs to be fixed in the coming months and years of these talks, but the immediate objective should be the humanitarian issues that will help some of the Syrians get back on their feet.
Okay, so that's a start, but ultimately the opposition wants Syrian President Bashar al-Assad out of office. That's their main goal of talks, and that seems unlikely.
Yes, absolutely. The goal of the talks, as set out in a prior conference in Geneva in 2012, was a transition government where everybody sits down and talks about how we will be able to move from Assad government into a mutually acceptable representation of the Syrian people. Now, Assad is saying, hey, I'm going to have elections in the spring, and that's mutually decided upon. However, the opposition holds that there's no way that you could hold free and fair elections in under the conditions in Syria today.
Okay. With all that's going on now in Syria, a lot of infighting between what we would call rebel groups, who does the Syrian opposition speak for, the group that's showing up in Switzerland?
That's a very pertinent question. The opposition is made up of over 1,000 different groups. Some of them are fighting, some of them are political. Now, the opposition that we're talking about, the Syrian National Coalition, only represents a very small group of political or very moderate rebels that don't have much representation on the ground within Syria. The rest of the opposition is various fighting groups, of which a large portion are either affiliated with al-Qaeda or share the same belief system, which is a bit concerning considering that they may hold the future of Syria in their hands.
Aaron Baker, are you optimistic?
I think that this is going to be a very long, drawn-out process, and there'll be a lot of pain and suffering before it's over.
Aaron Baker is Time Magazine's Middle East Bureau Chief. She joined us from Lebanon. Aaron, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Ambassador Nicholas Burns was Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs from 2005 to 2008. He now teaches at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He says he's not surprised the relationship with Iran can get rocky at times, even as it gets better in some areas.
Well, I think it's inevitable that you're going to see these growing pains and disputes and arguments over how we talk to each other, because it's been 34 years since the United States and Iran have had a normal relationship where the two governments talk and argue about problems. On the nuclear issue, I think that President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry have done really well in getting Iran to this interim agreement. But now the tough work starts, because in the next 6 months, the two countries and other countries will be arguing and debating some very tough issues. Will Iran deconstruct part of its nuclear apparatus? That's going to be difficult for Iran. And you'll see in public arguments on both sides, disputes. That is normal in diplomacy. And certainly it's better than fighting. But I think we'll see a lot of this in these discussions. In Syria, of course, the United States has questioned whether Iran is willing to meet the UN agreed upon goal of a transitional government, because Iran has been fighting in Syria and funding Hezbollah in Syria.
Okay, so both sides, in this case, America and Iran, have to talk tough to their domestic audiences, right? We're going to ratchet up sanctions, says the U.S. Congress. Iran says we got the better deal and we can restart our nuclear weapons program or the nuclear program in a day. And both sides know that the other side has to talk to their domestic constituents, and yet each of them are complaining about what the other is saying. Does that make any sense?
It's understandable. It reminds me of many of the negotiations in which I participated with a variety of countries around the world during my own diplomatic career. Here's the challenge, especially when you are a democracy, and like we are, very happily. There has to be both a private negotiation, in this case between the United States and Iran, and there has to be a public discussion. The administration has to come back and report to the Congress. The Congress will have to vote to take off some of the sanctions against Iran should there be a final agreement. And there has to be an effort by the administration to explain this to the American public. So what you have to do is make sure that you're being consistent in what you're saying privately, and the negotiation has to be consistent with what you say publicly to your own people. But you see that both sides, in Iran, for instance, the right wing, the Revolutionary Guard, the conservative elements are criticizing the Iranian government, President Rouhani, for having made concessions to the United States. And the same thing is happening in the United States, where President Obama's critics, both in the Democratic and Republican parties, are threatening new sanctions that President Obama says he doesn't want. And so part of diplomacy is talking to your own country, your own Congress, your own people, not just your adversary across the table, in this case, Iran.
Are you optimistic about where things stand?
I think it's probably too strong to say optimism when it comes to Iran. We've been separated for so long. The Iranians have not been truthful in the past about their nuclear efforts. They've hidden a lot of what they're doing from the rest of the world. They've only discussed these issues when they've been divulged. And so I think you can't trust the Iranians here, not given their track record. You have to verify in every step of this process.
Ambassador Nicholas Burns, a pleasure. Thank you as always.
Thank you so much, Aaron.
Nicholas Burns was Undersecretary of State in the George W. Bush administration. He now teaches diplomacy at Harvard's Kennedy School.